The reading's entitled, The Greatest in the Kingdom of Heaven. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So hello, it's a real privilege to be able to come and speak with you this morning. Many thanks again to Reverend Paul for the invitation, for all of you for being here and for giving me your time and attention. Now, before I start, I have a small admission to make. Often it can seem that whoever it is that's speaking in front of church has got their faith all together. But I have to tell you that this is certainly not true of me. Especially over the last few years when I've been having something of a spiritual crisis, what's sometimes known as a dark night of the soul. Lots of questions and difficulties and doubts. However, in amongst all of that, the topic of today's talk, God's call to littleness, has, if anything, only become more important and central to my understanding of God and faith and how we work out faith in our lives. Now, I'm afraid that this talk doesn't contain 3 points, all beginning with the letter P. And in fact, it actually doesn't contain any points beginning with any letter. It's more of a short journey that we're going to take together. And my hope is simply that by the end of the journey, you too will feel encouraged to walk the way of littleness. So, now here we are, a couple of weeks into 2017. How many of you, I wonder, made New Year's resolutions? Can we have a show of hands? Oh, actually, not many, or at least not many that are admitting to it. That sort of rather takes out the next question, which is how many of you are still managing to keep those resolutions? One. I must admit, I've not made a specific New Year's resolution for many a year. Not since I gave up sugar in both tea and coffee when I was a child. And, you know, let's face it, what else can I do that would be as life-changing as that? Even so, that moment when the old year draws to a close and the new year stands open before us can seem in a particularly appropriate time to take stock of our lives and resolve that things will be different from now on. But how many of us have ever resolved that this year I will become more childlike? And yet, this is what Jesus tells us we need. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The word that Jesus uses when he speaks of our need to change means to turn round, to change direction. The implication is that if we're not becoming more and more childlike, then our lives are headed the wrong way. We might think that we're meant to grow up and become more adult. Jesus tells us that, on the contrary, we are, in many ways, meant to grow down and become more like little children. All too often, we want to be bigger. Yet the reality is that we need to be smaller. If we think about entry requirements, it tends to be in terms of what we need in order to get in, be that age ID or a passport or tickets or membership or qualifications, expertise, experience, wealth, connections, whatever. But not all entry requirements are like this. Sometimes it's not about what we have, but about what we don't have. When my children were younger, I used to take them to soft play areas. I'm sure you know those kind of things. And I'd have loved to have joined in. I don't think they had such things when I was small. But sadly, they're not designed to be used by adults. We are far too big. And so only children are permitted to enter. And in the same way, entry into the kingdom of heaven is restricted to those who are willing to become like little children. For the kingdom is made for the childlike. This is the way that God designed it to be. And the things that open the doors in the world will not gain us entry. Indeed, they're all more likely to be hindrance, puffing us up and weighing us down. And we're not here talking simply about coming to faith. God's purpose is not that we receive some sort of golden ticket that grants us entry into the kingdom when Jesus comes again. The kingdom is not simply something that is to come, but it's something that has come and continues to come, breaking into the world here and now. So hence we need to enter into the kingdom and the things of the kingdom day by day, moment by moment. Elsewhere, Jesus speaks not only of entering the kingdom, but of receiving it. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Jesus promised his followers life in all its fullness. And yet we tend to be so full of ourselves and our thoughts and our desires that we have little room to receive the life that God has for us. Now, most little children are not like this. They're not preoccupied with themselves, not caught up with themselves, not full of their own self-image, their own self-importance, not full of preconceptions and prejudices. They're not full of themselves, and so they have room to receive. Room to receive new experiences, room to receive new knowledge, room to receive new relationships, room to receive love and affection, room to receive all that life has to offer them. And we can know God's fullness only if we have this childlike capacity to receive, to be so empty of self that we have room to receive all the blessings that God has in store for us. Room to receive God as our Father. Room to receive Jesus as our Saviour. Room to receive the Holy Spirit as our guide and our counsellor. Room to receive all the fullness of God and his kingdom. Now, so important is this need to become like little children that Jesus underlines it with the words, "I tell you the truth." Now, whenever he uses this expression, we know that it is a sign that we really need to sit up and take note. What Jesus is about to say is not simply true. After all, Jesus never spoke anything but the truth. But is a truth with a capital T. Something fundamental about the workings of the kingdom of heaven. But if that's the case, why do we seemingly give Jesus' words on this subject so little attention? I'm not meaning to be critical here, just realistic. How often have you heard someone speak on the need for us to become like little children? How many books have you read or even seen on the subject? How often is it the topic of any Bible reading notes you might use? How often does childlikeness feature in any of our songs of praise and worship? How often do we pray to be changed, to become more like little children? I could be wrong, but my guess is rarely, if ever. One of the reasons, I think, is that we have a tendency to understand Jesus' words simply as an illustration, as a metaphor of the need to have a childlike faith and a childlike trust in God, to have that same unquestioning trust in God that a young child has in their parents. And yes, this is a part of what Jesus was getting at. But notice, Jesus never actually uses the word faith. He doesn't say that we need to have a childlike faith. And to limit the meaning of his words in this way is, I believe, to diminish the all-embracing, life-changing scope of what Jesus is actually asking of us. Now, we learn from Luke's account of this encounter that the disciples had been arguing. And it will probably come as little surprise to learn that they were arguing about which one of them was the greatest. And it seems that they decided to resolve the matter by asking Jesus, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And they were clearly expecting Jesus to name one of them. So we need to understand that the disciples were not asking an abstract theological question. At this stage, they were still expecting Jesus to restore the kingdom to Israel. They're in the here and now. And they really wanted to know which of them would hold positions of the greatest honor and power. And so Jesus didn't give them an abstract theological answer. Rather, he called forward a child, a real little child. And he said, "If you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, then be like this." Now, before I go any further, I need to be absolutely clear about one thing. Being childlike is absolutely not the same as being childish. St. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, says this: "When I was a child, I taught like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me." And elsewhere, he tells his fellow believers to stop thinking like children. No longer be infants. Grow up. What could be clearer? Childhood is for children, not for adults. As we grow older, we have to grow up, to develop, to mature. This is the way of things, the way that life should be. And yes, we should, of course, welcome and encourage the maturity, the knowledge and experience that we gain as we grow into adulthood. For there are many situations and tasks and challenges that we need to approach as adults, drawing upon all the resources with which our years have endowed us. And I do also realise that not everyone is fortunate in having had a happy childhood, and some are scarred for life by their early experiences. If that's the case, I could well understand that childhood might be something you're only too happy to see the back of and are none too keen to revisit. But in calling for us to become like little children, Jesus is not saying that we should not grow and mature. And he is certainly not saying that we should continue in childish behaviour. Indeed, if it were childish behaviour that Jesus seeks, there would be little need for him to encourage us in it, since this comes perfectly naturally to most of us. It takes no special effort on my part to be immature, insecure, irresponsible, and infantile. And I suspect that I am not alone in this. We can all be self-centred, attention-seeking, and manipulative. We can all get angry and sulk if we don't get what we want. Being childish is not something that most of us lose, sadly, as we grow up. We might become a bit better at hiding such childish reactions, but that childish nature remains with us no matter how old we get. Being childlike, as we shall see, is something entirely different. When Jesus sent out the 12 disciples, he counseled them to be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. We might perhaps say that they were to see the world with the wisdom and understanding that comes from age and experience, but then respond with the simplicity and the goodness and the grace of a child. It is a call for us to live undivided lives, our adult self and our childlike self, united as one. So then, what does it mean to become like little children? Well, in the generous but still limited time available, I'd like to focus on just one key characteristic, which is the cornerstone of all the others, and I've already mentioned it. Immediately after speaking of the need to change and become like little children, Jesus goes on to say, "Whoever takes the lowly position of this child," or as it's also translated, "whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Humility. This is the key to becoming childlike. And I noticed that humility is also part of the Emmanuel Church text for 2017. "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and see my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." So what does it mean to be humble like a child? Now, for us adults, humility generally entails us playing down our abilities and achievements and setting aside any advantages associated with our position and power. It is, if you like, behaving as if we did not have these things. But let's be honest, such humility is not something that we see very often in little children. Now, in part, this is because they're too young to realise the necessity for humility, or even truly understand what humility is. More to the point, however, is the fact that they have little or nothing in their lives that they are able to play down or set aside, even if they wanted to. For their abilities are limited. Their achievements are small. They have no position or power. So as such, the humility of a little child is not so much an attitude of mind as a state of being. It's a fundamental part of who and what they are. Indeed, the word humble can literally mean not rising far from the ground. It comes from humus, the earth. And that's a perfect way to describe these little ones whose size dictates a very real physical humility, small and powerless and weak. In their letters, both Paul and Peter exhort the early believers to clothe yourselves with humility. And this phrase is suggestive of what it means for adults to be humble. It's something that we put on, at best from a desire not to show off what we are and what we have, and at worst, simply to cover over our pride. In contrast, childlike humility is not so much a putting on as a putting off, a giving up of our desire to have and our desire to be, a giving up even of what we have and what we are. To be truly humble like a child is to have few possessions, a lowly position, little power. For this is the way that was taken by Jesus. His humility entailed an actual physical change in his circumstances, a very real coming down. His was the greatness and the power and the glory and the splendor and the majesty of God. He had everything, yet he made himself nothing. He chose freely to give it all up, to let it all go. He set aside his divinity to take on our humanity. Leaving his eternal home with his Father in heaven, he came to live here on earth, a life of service and obedience, and ultimately, death on a cross. And he came, as the nativity scene reminds us, as a helpless baby, totally dependent on his human parents for protection and provision, for all that he needed to survive and to grow. Now, we're so familiar with this story that we seldom feel any shock at the idea of Almighty God making himself so vulnerable. We can hardly envisage things happening any other way. And yet Jesus could just as easily have appeared on earth as a full-grown man, ready to embark upon his adult ministry. Instead, he chose to share the full extent of our humanity and show the endless depths of his humility by becoming like a little child. And this matters because our view of God fundamentally affects how we relate both to God and to the rest of the world. In 1952, J.B. Phillips published a book, you may have heard of it, the title has since entered the Christian lexicon, Your God is Too Small. And whilst I agree with Phillips' diagnosis, it's a brilliant book, I'm convinced that we suffer equally from the very opposite malady. Our God is too big. Think about it. God humbled himself, literally came down to our level that we might see him as one of us and relate to him as one of us. God knows what it is to be human. He's able to empathize with our weaknesses. Jesus came as the friend of sinners that we might be called his friends. If our God is too big, then we're never going to grasp these essential truths. But just as importantly, our view of God affects how we relate to the world. If our God is big and powerful, then we can think of ourselves as big and powerful too. We're children of the King. Yes, we are. Children of the servant King, the one who made himself nothing, who came to the world in humility, in littleness. This is how we are to live in the world. God is so much bigger than we could ever conceive. But our big God made himself small, smaller than we can ever truly believe. This is how he chose to reveal himself. This is what he wants us to see. This is how he wants us to be. When God makes himself small, we have little choice but to make ourselves smaller still. And such an understanding of humility could have a profound effect of how we live out our faith. In his letter to the church in Corinth, Paul tells us about the type of person that God chooses and uses to fulfill his purposes. And rarely is it those whom the world would consider to be wise or influential or important. Rather, it's the foolish and the weak and the lowly and the despised, as we were just singing about. He chooses the things that are not, so that none may boast before him. What a telling phrase this is. We want to be significant. We want to be something. Yet God, we are told, chooses those who are nothing. Speaking to his disciples of his impending death, Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Fruitfulness and abundance, it seems, must come through humility and death. First and foremost through the death of Jesus, then through each of us dying to our own selfish ambitions and desires. Just as that seed is literally humbled by falling into the ground and entering into the soil, so we, in humbling ourselves, come to that place from which true growth and increase will come. For the kingdom of God is a topsy-turvy kingdom, an upside-down kingdom, where the first are last and the last are first. The one who rules is like the one who serves. Those who are weaker are indispensable. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. Where the greatest is a little child. If we truly desire to make a difference for God and to see his kingdom come, then we need to do things God's way, not the world's way. There's no need for us to try to ape its attitudes or mimic its methods. Nor do we need to try to compete with the world with a kind of anything you can do, he can do better. Rather, we need to learn to walk the way of littleness, of insignificance, seeking to be nothing rather than desiring to be something, learning to love and serve in gentleness and humility. If we are willing to do this, then God himself will take care of any significance in what we do. After all, in the seeming insignificance and failure of his earthly life and death, Jesus achieves something of the greatest significance for all humanity, whose effect will be felt throughout all eternity. The kingdom of heaven belongs to the childlike. So what might hinder the little child in each of us from coming to Jesus? Well, my guess is that fundamentally we undervalue the child within us and fail to recognize the validity of a childlike approach to Jesus. But hopefully this short exploration of God's call to littleness might have begun to change that view. And if so, perhaps the question you're now asking is, how? How can I become like a little child now that I'm an adult? Surely I cannot simply roll back the years and think and act as if I'm young again. This question has echoes of another, asked of Jesus by a teacher of the law named Nicodemus, after Jesus had told him that he must be born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answers Nicodemus by telling him that no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit, just as no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they change and become like a little child. Being born again is the work of God's Holy Spirit, and it's the same Holy Spirit who can change us to become like little children. To be born again physically would surely be the ultimate fulfillment of what it would mean to become like a little child. So could it be that an overlooked aspect of us being born again spiritually should be the renewal of childlikeness within us? But whilst it's the Holy Spirit who changes and transforms us, who creates true childlikeness within us, we nonetheless have a part to play in the process. He needs us to cooperate in the work he seeks to perform in us. It's a partnership between us and God. So how do we cooperate with God? What can we do? What part can we play? Well, what did Jesus say? As we've seen, he didn't say anything spiritual or religious. Instead, he called a little child and had him stand among them. In essence, he was saying to them, look at this child. Listen to this child. Consider this child. Learn from this child. Emulate this child. Become like this child. And this, I believe, is what we need to do. To become more childlike. Not primarily in the religious things, but in the everyday things. To recover some of our childhood. Or perhaps discover a childhood that we never had. To see the world afresh through the eyes of a child. We cannot compartmentalize our life and faith. We expect and hope and pray that our faith will affect the way we live our lives. But we often ignore the fact that the reverse is also true. If we maintain a relentlessly adult approach to life, then little wonder that we find it difficult to adopt a childlike approach to God. But if, on the other hand, we make room to enjoy more childlike moments in our lives, then we will find this childlike attitude spilling over into our approach to our faith and to God. As we become more childlike, so our faith will become more childlike. We desire to grow in our faith, to enter into all that God has for us, to become more and more the people that he wants us to be. And all around us, there are children who can teach us and encourage us on our journey. Our own, perhaps, those of our family and friends, those within our church fellowship, and those of the wider community. So let's take every opportunity to see what they are doing and to hear what they are saying, to consider their ways and learn from them and seek to emulate them. Better still, let's join in with what they're doing when they allow us to do so. And we can cultivate a playful spirit by allowing ourselves to play again. Doing something for no other reason than the sheer enjoyment of doing so. Simply having fun. Wasting time when we could be doing something far more important. And doing so wholeheartedly, with all of our attention. Not distracted by the incessant nagging of the never-ending list of the things that supposedly need to be done. Such play connects us with a child that still lives within us all and encapsulates much of what it means to be childlike. The more playful we become, the more childlike we become. And let us be prepared to make fools of ourselves having fun. Splashing in puddles, kicking up leaves, clambering on trees, building sandcastles, racing the waves, collecting shells and pebbles, flying a kite, playing conkers, hunting for mini beasts, throwing snowballs, building a snowman, going sledging. These are just a few suggestions. The possibilities for such childlike fun are endless, limited only by our imagination and our willingness to set aside our pride and our supposed dignity and maturity. Let's not worry what others might think. In the words of the famous Nike slogan, let's just do it. But can we really be childlike in a world where there is so much pain and suffering, instability and turmoil, uncertainty and fear? Not just is it possible, but is it right? Is it appropriate? Well, I'll turn that question around. How can we not be? With the world as it is, we need childlikeness more than ever. People who will respond with a childlike heart, humble and joyful, grateful and graceful, playful and full of wonder. So let us be like little children, not in their childishness, but in their childlikeness. Let us seek always to embrace the childlike in the everyday. Let us heed the advice of an advertisement for Clark's shoes that they had a few years back. Act your shoe size, not your age. Perhaps this all seems too trivial and trite. Where is the spiritual insight? And where are the spiritual disciplines to help us grow in childlikeness? I truly believe that in order to become more childlike, we need to encounter and experience the world as a child once again. As we do this, I believe, we will begin to encounter God as a child and receive his kingdom as a child. I know full well that I've scarcely scratched the surface, barely begun to plumb the depths of what this might mean. And certainly, sadly, I cannot claim to live an especially childlike life. But I truly believe that God's call to littleness is fundamental to us entering into all that God has for us, of living the life that he wants us to live, and of becoming the people that he wants us to be. Thank you so much for listening.